Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Built by Bama Online podcast presents Daybreak for Friday, May the 29th, 2020. Travis Ryer, senior analyst for BamaOnline.com, with you 3 times per week here on Daybreak. Now, coming up in just a little bit, I'll be joined by Hank South, recruiting analyst for us there at BOL. We'll get Hank's thoughts on the commitment of Ian Jackson, the four-star linebacker from Prattville High School, to the Alabama Crimson Tide. You saw that on Thursday around midday. Ian Jackson making that news public via social media. We'll get Hank's thoughts again on what the commitment means for Alabama. You watch tape of Ian Jackson. This is obviously a very versatile defender at 6'1 plus and 210 pounds, can play on the edge, can play in space, has played in the secondary during his high school career. Watching his tape, he is kind of like the high school version of Clemson's Isaiah Simmons the last few years. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Isaiah Simmons. Isaiah Simmons, 6'4 or so, 230 pounds. So, you know, still some maturation to take place for Ian Jackson. But you like the versatility. You like the athleticism. You see a variety of ways in which he can be used in the future on this Alabama defense. Also, another in-state commitment for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Been a run on in-state players here the last couple of years. Alabama now with 6 commitments for the class of 2021. And Ian Jackson is in-state commitment number 3 of that group. So a very nice run on in-state players over the last 2+ classes continues with the commitment of Ian Jackson. We'll talk with Hank South about that aspect of Ian Jackson getting on board coming up in a little bit as well. Have some other items we're going to get to first. You heard from Nick Saban on Thursday night as a part of the Larch Mobile football preview that takes place on an annual basis down in the Port City of Mobile. Unfortunately, because of the coronavirus pandemic, the 26th annual event was forced to take place virtually this year. You heard from Nick Saban. You heard from Kirby Smart of Georgia, Gus Malzahn of Auburn, Jeremy Pruitt of Georgia, Dave Aranda of Baylor, Clay Helton. It was all pretty much taped, recorded. So not a lot of in-depth commentary from Nick Saban on Thursday night, but we have that update for you. Charlie Potter has that update for you there at BamaOnline.com. Something else that I thought was particularly interesting that we saw sort of unfold on Thursday evening, Pete Thamel, the national college football writer for Yahoo Sports. Now that we understand that the moratorium on organized activities on college campuses where athletics is concerned has been lifted, the next step, and what you sort of wonder as a college football fan or someone who covers it for a living, is, okay, what is a preseason potentially going to look like as far as fall camp and some of the ramp up to a 2020 college football campaign? And Thamel had some interesting notes on that via Twitter on Thursday night. According to sources of Pete Thamel, the NCAA Football Oversight Committee met on Thursday, and they are heading toward recommendation of a 6-week preseason football camp for the upcoming season. In fact, Thamel says that in the next week, the Football Oversight Committee is going to determine what that sort of format could look like before formally recommending it for approval. According to Thamel, the FOC will make that recommendation to the NCAA Division I Council for final approval mid-June, coming up here in a couple weeks, couple of 3 weeks, I guess, is the target for that next step. And it makes you wonder, what would a six-week time frame for a fall camp consist of? Because when you say fall camp, you're talking about the time typically before the start of fall classes, which at the University of Alabama coming up in August, that means the 19th of August. That's the first day of classes on the academic calendar year for the fall semester at UA coming up. If fall camp is defined by Pete Thamel as the preseason workouts and practices that you have in advance of the start of the fall semester, then a six-week time frame would have perhaps Alabama getting preseason practices going somewhere in the neighborhood of the second week of July or so. So when you add it all up, it's sort of still in line with what you've heard from Nick Saban and some other coaches previously, you know, a couple weeks perhaps to get into fundamentals, try to get back into a routine, an orientation of sorts for new players, and then ramp things up as you get into August and start to really prepare for the start of another season. So interesting stuff from Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports on Thursday evening. Also, as the parent of an incoming freshman at the University of Alabama, we received an email on Thursday from Stuart Bell, president of the University of Alabama. Thought it was interesting that Bell, in that email, stated that UA is exploring the most effective ways to implement a number of protocols that will promote the health, safety, success, and privacy of each individual member of the UA campus community. These will include enhanced cleanings, the appropriate use of protective equipment, and the potential modification of traditional classroom settings, among others. In addition, with guidance from the ADPH and the UA System Task Force, UA is planning to implement a COVID-19 testing and symptom tracking protocol. The effectiveness of the plans will be enhanced, according to Stuart Bell, through the campus community's use of a COVID-19 contact tracing tool that the UA System Task Force is developing in partnership with Apple, Google, and the ADPH. According to Stuart Bell, this will be a voluntary opt-in tracing tool for students and staff that will allow the university to harness technology without sacrificing the privacy of the individuals who use it, and in turn help with the slowing of the spread of the COVID-19 virus, so that, in the words of Stuart Bell, we can all be safer together. So there you go. In terms of students getting on campus for the fall semester, came across that on Thursday as well. As far as some SEC items of interest before we get to Hank South here on Daybreak, how about JT Daniels, the former quarterback at the University of Southern California, announces his transfer to the University of Georgia. The quarterback dominoes, man, that transfer portal where the quarterback position is concerned, it just never seems to slow down. So now at Georgia, you're going to have transfer quarterbacks in Jamie Newman from Wake Forest, who will be anticipated to be the guy this fall. JT Daniels, if you remember, had a knee injury early in the 2019 season that sidelined him for pretty much all of the year. And that opened the door for Keaton Slovis to step in there and really do some good things as a true freshman in 2019. And it is Keaton Slovis that Alabama anticipates facing in Arlington, Texas, as the quarterback of the Trojans on September the 5th. So JT Daniels now to Georgia. You also have Jamie Newman at Georgia. And guess who else you still have at Georgia? Carson Beck. Remember Carson Beck from the 2020 recruiting cycle just a few months ago? You probably do if you're an Alabama fan, because Carson Beck initially was committed to Alabama before flipping to the University of Georgia, which in turn paved the way for Bryce Young to flip from USC to Alabama. Did we get kind of everybody? Did we bring that all the way back around to USC, going from JT Daniels previously at USC to Bryce Young previously committed to USC? You can get a little dizzy trying to keep up with quarterbacks these days in college football. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Hank South, recruiting analyst for us there at BamaOnline.com. We'll talk Ian Jackson. We'll talk in-state recruiting. We'll do that and a whole lot more with Hank South on a Friday edition of Daybreak right here on the Built by Bama Online podcast right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And so let's talk to Hank South right now on Daybreak for a Friday. Hank, of course, a very busy man these days as the Crimson Tide on the football front continues to add to its commitment list for the 2021 cycle. Most recently, Ian Jackson on Thursday makes it public that he will be a part of this latest recruiting haul for Nick Saban. And Hank, as we bring you on here, first and foremost, I got to know, how's young Maxwell sleeping these days? Is he sleeping through the night at this point?
It's hit or miss, but you know, that's to be expected. And you know, it gives me, if I'm up, I have time to, you know, knock some stuff out for work, you know, before the day starts. So, you know, there's silver linings to it, but yeah, we're getting there, and hopefully pretty soon we'll be sleeping through the night.
Yeah. Multi kids means multitasking to a whole nother level. Right. Oh, yeah. And, time management, I guess, becomes more and more important as you increase the size of the brood. But certainly happy to hear everything's going good on that front. Hank, some good stuff for Alabama, obviously, on the football recruiting front with Ian Jackson making his commitment to the Crimson Tide. Let's talk about a little bit of how this came to be. Obviously, an in-state product, a guy who not all that far away from the University of Alabama campus when you talk about Prattville, but when did Ian Jackson sort of emerge as a legitimate target for the Crimson Tide? And let's kind of work through that process.
Yeah. So when we really started, you know, tracking him and paying attention more to him in terms of, you know, mutual interest between he and Alabama, I'd say late January, Nick Saban stopped at Prattville High School. I think it was one of the last schools he went to during that January contact period when coaches can get out and, you know, evaluate kids, see them work out prior to signing day. And Prattville, I think, was the Friday before that period ended. So they got in there, saw him, and then the next day, Ian Jackson came to Junior Day on February 1st and got the offer from the staff and had a chance to actually talk to Nick Saban, talk to the staff, and spend time on campus for a visit. And that's when things really started getting going. He was going to come back for a spring practice. Obviously, that did not take place, but Bama kept in touch with him. You know, we really started to see them make a push. I want to say, you know, late March, that's when it, you know, they've been talking to him the whole time. But, you know, when we really saw the heat started to get turned up, it feels like that was probably late March. And, you know, all the while he was getting offers from everybody, you know, Auburn, Georgia, LSU, all these schools jumped in the mix for him. But Alabama kind of just set itself apart with, you know, Charles Kelly and the relationship he built with Ian Jackson's family, you know, constant communication, whether it be Zoom with the coaching staff, virtual visits. He actually said he made up his mind that it was going to be Alabama on a virtual visit a few weeks ago. So, you know, Bama just did a really good job staying in contact with him, you know, building relationships with not just him, but, you know, his family and the coaching staff at Prattville. So big pickup and a guy, you know, a lot of coaching staffs coveted.
You've talked about this. We've talked about it in the past. Some Auburn connections to Ian Jackson. Was this a situation where it was Alabama wire to wire, or was Auburn really in the thick of this thing? Maybe another school or two. Who were the primary competitors for Ian Jackson and his commitment where Alabama was concerned?
Yeah, you know, towards the end, I think it was mainly Alabama, Auburn. There was a little talk about Oklahoma in the mix. I'm not sure he ever actually made it out to Oklahoma. Georgia was in the mix. They actually got him on campus, I think, prior to his junior season. So there was some, you know, relationship there with Georgia. But really, you know, it came down to Alabama, Auburn. Like you said, you know, it's one of these things where he has a lot more ties to Auburn than he does Alabama. His mom went to Auburn. His sister is at Auburn. He lives closer to Auburn, or, you know, in the vicinity of Auburn. So, you know, they were pushing for him towards the end. Bama's pushing for him. I think Bama just set itself apart with, you know, they offered first back in February at that junior day. And I think he just saw himself fitting better in the scheme. I think he liked the plan a little bit better. I know he really liked the strength and conditioning coaches when we talked to him about that. And yeah, you know, I think at some points it was probably back and forth, you know, especially when Auburn offered later in the spring. But, you know, like I said, once he took that virtual visit, I think, you know, for him and his family, I think they came to the decision that was the best spot for him.
You know, we hear linebacker, and a lot of times we kind of make the association to just a certain type of player. But these days, you can talk about linebacker in terms of really different skill sets, depending on maybe the position or just the individual in general. The one aspect that seems to be a non-negotiable, even at that position these days, is athleticism. So in addition to that, maybe in connection to that, how would you best describe what Alabama's getting in Ian Jackson at the linebacker position?
Yeah, just, you know, a versatile defensive playmaker. I think, you know, we caught up with Caleb Ross, the head coach at Prattville, and he said, you know, I thought one of the best quotes he gave on him was his instincts kick in when he gets around the football. So, you know, he has a nose for the football. You turn on his tape, he kind of does a little bit of everything. He goes out and plays cornerback. You know, he comes off the edge for Prattville. They haven't really played him inside too much just because they, you know, he's been more effective elsewhere. They started him at safety as a sophomore. He played outside linebacker last year, and there's a little tape of him playing cornerback as well. But Caleb Ross told us that they might, you know, play around and put him inside this year. And yeah, you know, he's closer to 6'2" than he is 6'1", about 210 pounds. And, you know, talking to people familiar with him, you know, they could see him, you know, easily getting up to 230, 235, moving inside at the college level. You know, he has ball skills. Like I said, he played safety for a while. For the majority of his high school career, he's played safety thus far. So, you know, he can play in space. He's a rangy kid. So really just kind of the total package that, you know, you can plug him in at several different places. And it was, he even said, you know, Bama's been talking to him about the money position as of late in terms of, you know, where they kind of project him at. But at the same time, you know, he's still growing. They're going to see how he continues to develop. So it's kind of just up in the air. We'll see, but definitely a guy they can do a lot of different things with.
Yeah, the money position in the dime at Alabama, that's typically reserved for a safety type. You saw it the last year or two with Xavier McKinney. So that speaks to the sort of athleticism this Alabama staff sees in Ian Jackson. Now, with Jackson coming on board, Hank, we're talking about 6 total commitments for the Crimson Tide. Alabama rocketing up into the top 40 now, Hank, of the 24/7 sports composite rankings. We say that sarcastically because we know at the end of the day, Alabama's going to be just fine when it comes to team rankings. But you look at it, and again, 3 of the 6 are in-state guys. You're coming off a year in which the state of Alabama produced 8 Alabama signees. The year before that, you had 6 in 2019. Now, that may not sound like a crazy high amount, but it resonates when you consider that 3 years ago, Alabama in its 2018 class, just 2 in-state signees. So I'd say that's a pretty good compliment to what the state has produced the last couple of years. And it looks like it's going to be close to the case, at least again this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in-state recruiting is, everyone says it's the lifeblood of the program. You want to recruit within a certain radius of your campus, you know, so you can get those homegrown guys. You can make it more easily accessible for their families to come see them. And it's just all around. You want to get the guys closer to you. You want to get the guys at home before you move elsewhere. And obviously, you know, Bama recruits nationally just as well as anybody else, but they've also done a really good job, especially the last couple cycles, you know, really, keeping an eye on the in-state talent, and the in-state talent has been there, and it's, you know, looking forward to even 2024. Like, we're already hearing about some of these kids that are just, it's just the football talent in this state. I think it's getting more and more noticed. And you know, I think that's going to be very evident as the years goes on. But as far as 2021 goes, yeah, you know, Bama's not done there. They have the commitments on board already, but, some of their biggest targets are still out there within the state. And it starts with JaQuincy McKinstry at Pinson Valley. That's kind of a highly contested recruitment between Alabama, Auburn, LSU has come on the last couple months real hard. And you know, JaQuincy McKinstry leads, I think, a lot of defensive boards. He's up there on the defensive back recruiting boards. And so he's certainly a guy Bama wants to add. Lee Hunter, who's committed to Auburn. Bama has been pretty active recruiting him out of Blount High School in 8 Mile. We'll see. He maintains he's pretty solid with Auburn, but you know, you look at his Twitter account, he's tweeting about Alabama, he's tweeting about Georgia. So it looks like the interest is there, and he does want to take an official visit. And we saw last cycle, Bama flipped 3 Auburn commits throughout the year, whether it be Des Moines Kennedy, Quindarius Robinson, or Javion Cohen. So just because they're committed elsewhere doesn't mean, you know, they're not still thinking about other places. And then of course Jeremiah Williams out of Ramsey High School in Birmingham. He's a big Alabama Auburn battle as well. So there's a ton of talent within the state, and definitely, you know, Bama's aware of that and working on them.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it already, Hank right there at BamaOnline.com on the heels of the Ian Jackson commitment outlined who might be next on commitment watch for the Alabama Crimson Tide in the 2021 cycle. You can find that a great piece right there at BamaOnline.com. One of the few, if not the only, recruit prospect that I saw in that piece that wasn't a defensive player, Hank, was Christian Leary, the wide receiver prospect who for a time there looked like he could be close to making a decision. But I know in the last day or so, you've unearthed some information that says that may not be the case.
Yeah. So June 6th was Christian Leary's commitment date. And that was a significant date for him. It is his mother's birthday. And so that was kind of what he was circling to make a commitment that day. And it's interesting because he had June 6th set back in March. Then he started getting a wave of new offers, including Alabama. And he postponed it kind of indefinitely. Then a few weeks back, he set it again for June 6th. And then last night he put out a tweet, earlier this week, I think it was Wednesday night, he put out a tweet that said, he's just going to make a commitment when he's ready. And so I caught up with him. I asked him kind of what that meant, if that means any time or if he's going to wait longer than June 6th. And he said it'll be after June 6th. So, you know, kids change their minds a lot. You know, we've already seen him change his mind on June 6th once. So maybe he decides to reset it. Like I said, it is his mother's birthday, so there's an importance to that date. But for now, it looks like June 6th is not going to be the day that Christian Leary commits. But again, you know, a lot of kids are making decisions now with this dead period being extended through July 31st. You know, I think he's a guy that really could announce at any point. He kind of has his final group whittled down to a handful of schools, whether it be Alabama, Florida, Auburn, Oklahoma. So he kind of has an idea. He just hasn't been on a lot of these campuses to kind of get an in-person feel. And whether he's waiting for that, we'll see. But he has been doing virtual visits. One of them has been to Alabama. And, you know, I think, you know, Bama's really been pitching that fit to him in terms of kind of that Jalen Waddle role. And I think that's really resonating with him. And I think he's taken notice of the quarterback position at Alabama and how it's pretty set for the next few years. And I think that has his interest peaked a lot in Bama.
It's Daybreak, part of the Built by Bama Online podcast. If you haven't already, we would certainly appreciate a subscription to the podcast. Leave us a rating and or a review while you're there. That would be greatly appreciated as well. And Hank, as we get out of here on this Friday morning, kind of lost in all of this and the shutdown over the last 2+ months in collegiate athletics is the fact that you're going to be bringing together Alabama and elsewhere football teams, really, for the first time of the 2020 college football calendar year. And I know you've been in touch with some of the 2020 recruiting class members who are, I'm guessing, very excited about joining the program for the first time. You were expected to have, Alabama was, 13 early enrollees. That happened back in January. But you're going to bring all these guys together, and that includes a dozen or so newcomers. What are you hearing on that front in terms of timeframes for guys getting on campus here?
Yeah, so it sounds like most of the guys are going to arrive in Tuscaloosa on June 1st or, you know, shortly after throughout. Probably, you know, there's always a couple stragglers that come in a few days later, or, you know, when travel is most convenient for them. So, you know, you kind of have to take that into consideration traveling these days with everything going on. But June 1st is the date that's circled for most of these guys. I've talked to Quandarius Robinson, I've talked to Javion Cohen, we talked to Tim Smith, and that's kind of the day that they're all looking at as far as getting to campus. But some guys have actually already started classes online. Malachi Moore has done that. Quandarius Robinson, I think Malachi and Quandarius were in the same online class to start with their college careers, the first day of school and college. So definitely kind of a unique situation, but it looks like move-in day is fast approaching for Monday.
Going to be fascinating on multiple levels, given the current climate and environment we find ourselves in. But we always appreciate the great work of Hank South there with us at BamaOnline.com. You can check it out for yourself if you haven't already. The roundtable there with us at BamaOnline.com. A great place to hang out with Alabama fans from really across the globe. Well, Hank, we'll do it again soon. Thanks as always.
Sure thing. Thanks, Travis.
For Hank South, Travis Ryer, thanking you for joining us on a Friday edition of Daybreak, part of the Built by Bama Online podcast. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.